Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is your host, Caroline Wise King, and I'm going to be taking you on an incredible journey into the world of shamanism. We have a wonderful guest that's going to be with us today. Her name is Brooke Medicine Eagle. She's a Native American earth keeper, earth wisdom teacher, visionary, sacred ecologist, songwriter, harmonist, recording artist, and catalyst for healing. She has a fabulous retreat in Washington called Flower Song Garden Sanctuary. We'll be talking about that and sustainability, and also about healing, healing the earth, healing ourselves, and healing our emotions and our minds as well. So it's going to be an incredible journey today. Brooke, are you with us?
I surely am, and I'm honored to be so.
Oh, thank you so much. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you. You know, I met you many moons ago at one of Sunbear's gatherings, and it was a fabulous gathering. There were so many shaman there. It was so powerful. We had Serge Kahili King from Hawaii. We had Maladoma, the African shaman, Brant Secundo of the Huichol teachings from Mexico. It was really something, but the thing that stood out in my mind most and left an indelible memory was you singing. You were just, there was no musical accompaniment, just you and your heartbeat drum and your beautiful voice floating out in the twilight. And it was just, it was like a sacred moment. I want to thank you for that memory. And now,
yes, you're welcome.
You
maybe we could just create a sacred moment here as we begin, and I could do that again. I hope it comes over well. I'd like to share with everyone an altar song that comes from a gravesite 10,000 years old down into our time, and I want to honor the what we put on high, what we elevate is our altar, and I'd like to, and have all my life put the Mother Earth on my altar, and so this is an altar song for the Mother Earth and for all our relations.
Thank you, Brooke.
Yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo. Yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo. Yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 do. Yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 do. Yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 yo, eh, hi, ay, 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 do. So thanks to our ancestors and thanks to the great creator for this beautiful life that we have and is coming to us more fully, Metapiasan, for all our relations. Holy.
Thank you, Brooke. That's beautiful. And we do need to do so much healing for Mother Earth. Now, I know you're doing, you're teaching sustainability at your garden song, Flower Song Garden Sanctuary, right?
You can just call it Flower Song. It's a little less of a tongue twister. Yes. You know, and not, so it's interesting. I'm not teaching it so actively as in I am actually walking my talk and putting my, myself on the ground to live in a sustainable way and create, I believe there's a vibration of light and love and beauty here that echoes out into the world, even if I don't go out very much, because I'm in an interesting time in my life of, after 35 years of almost 11 months on the road, one needs to ground themselves in the earth again. And so I am here, in a sense, more for myself than for others. It's a sanctuary for me and a retreat. And I do have people come in. I really need help to sustain this beauty and this beautiful little place. So it's a kind of a quiet teaching, and I feel like it's a very profound one. I feel like the vibration we create right now is the gift we give the world, and I feel like it's an incredible. I have, you know, a beautiful pond and a little waterfall, water flowing into a dipping pool that I can sit in when it's hot, and flowers and green and gardens and food production and orchards and sort of more than I can handle, but it's just absolutely a fabulous expression in the world of light and love and beauty, and that's what I'm really about.
Well, that's something we all need to be working on because, you know, with so much of our food source being contaminated with GMOs, the genetically modified organisms, we're finding many people that I know that we need to start growing our own food. We need to have gardens instead of lawns. We need to have fruit trees instead of ornamental trees. We need to be nurturing Mother Earth and thanking her and, you know, renewing our relationship with nature, because that connection seems to have been lost with all of our technology and all of our progress. We've somehow lost our ability to remember about the cycles of time and the rhythms of nature.
Well, and dangerously so. You know, it's that, you know, that's the basis of our life, is that connection with all the being, this wonderful being of Lady Gaia, Mother Earth, and all our relations. And, you know, nothing is unimportant. Nothing can be left out. And we're dangerously in trouble in the sense that we have forgotten that. Some people don't even know how food is grown or have never seen it grown, and they don't know where milk comes from and all of that sort of thing. And, you know, that's a dangerous precipice to stand on when you are so ignorant of your home and how your life is being supported and sustained. So the exciting thing for me is that, you know, I think we really are in a very, you know, we're in deep trouble in many ways, and there's not a lot of awareness or wakefulness about how to shift that. So what I'm really interested in these days, rather than focusing so much on that, is the kind of vibration I create and the kind of life that I live, and just making that a good energy for the earth. I'm doing something called Earth Sense, which is clearings and other kind of things, really focusing right on the Mother Earth herself and how she's holding energies and helping clear those to help people clear their lives and their land and their offices and all of that. So just anything that can be done to raise the vibration and to lift that and to awaken us. And I think what you said is so wonderful about you know, people starting to use. I studied permaculture with Bill Mollison years ago, and he one time said, he was talking about a guy somewhere around the world who was really this interesting guy, and he said, yeah, he's a friend of mine even though he has a lawn. And Bill was always crazy and radical, and we just laughed, but, you know, he was really saying where he's coming from, which is that, you know, it's those little, well, there are two things, you know, in the war, in England, the little family garden that had a few little tomato plants and this and that in the front or back, those things sustained the people. And
yes.
During this, the time when Russia, when Russia shifted and everything went down and was so difficult, the way the people lived were from their dashkas, their little weekend garden homes out of all the major cities. They go, that's their weekend pleasure, is to go to these little plots they own and grow. And so they mm-hmm. had this amazing food. So
yes.
It's such a lesson again and again about touching in right where we are and starting to shift. And I certainly have always talked about that and talked about the prophecies of 2012. And I think the exciting part and the part that is wonderful to focus on in our doing and in our thinking is that a golden time is now upon us. You know, that's the shift here. And I believe it. We shifted into that time probably in October of last year, and we're going to get an incredible hit of energy to move it forward on December 12th as we move into that, you know, move more fully into that time. And I think that what's going to happen then is that it's going to be an amazing event, and what's going to happen is we're going to feel the changes. We're going to suddenly go, oh, it's not like just when the new year, you know, 2 seconds after January 1st, you don't necessarily feel the new year. But a ways into it, you go, oh, this is an interesting year. And I think that December 12th can be that as we see what's happening around us in a positive and powerful manner. And what I believe is to happen on, and it has already happened somewhat with the Venus transit, but on December 21st of this year, 2012, I believe there's an alignment and an inpouring of love from the center of creation, from the center of our galaxy, lined up deep, deep into the full and ancient reality of life is this connection to the center source, which is love. And
yes.
Love is the answer to when we begin to love. We have to know them, you know, to know them, to love them. We, you know, as we fall in love with our planet again, as we fall in love with each other, as we carry love in our hearts day to day, moment to moment, you know, every plant I touch, you know, every bit of water that goes by, if all that is touched with love, every person, then that shifts things, because you can't
yes.
do damage when you love, you know, when you're really in that high state of loving and caring. And I think that that's what's going to be downloaded, and that's it will move things. I mean, it will change
yes.
and move things, and we'll have to hang on for the shaking. But I think the important thing to know is that, you know, it's like shaking. It's like a dog shaking the water off. You know, you get wet and cold. You shake the water off. And then it settles down, and you got some more air and breathing room. And I think there's going to be, you know, the big dog is going to shake. And,
yes.
And it is already, you know. But, you know, we just stay centered and stay connected. One of the things I like to do, even when I'm driving, if it's a little bit slick out, this is one of the ways I use this when I'm up in this part of the country, is I realize that there's a connection from my belly center, from my hara, you know, from my womb, right in that lower part of my body, there's a connection of a golden cord right down to the center of the earth.
Mm.
And so I just send down from myself this golden cord and remember that I'm connected to the earth and she holds me. And I feel like that helps hold me and my car in smooth motion. But in a certain way, it can also be, you know, a metaphor for our daily lives as we move through this time. You know, if you're out at the tip of the hair when the hair is shaking, you're going to get whipped all around. But if you're on the ground of earth, you know, the ground of the dog is in the metaphor, if you're deep and connected, then, you know, it's the excess. It's the stuff that's not needed that flies off, and you're in that essential connection to the earth. So I think those kind of practices where we do energetic practice that helps us remember ourselves as a part of earth and re-indigenize ourselves, then we can walk forward with grace, even hopefully dancing and yelling and yipping through the shaking part of things here, but then things settling down into an incredible beauty. That, by the way, is supposed to last for at least 1,000 or so years.
Yes. Well, that's the prophecy. And, of course, so many people are frightened about 2012. I have never seen so much fear in the world as there is right now. But it shouldn't be a time of fear, because I believe the ancient Mayans actually saw this as a time of celebration, that an age had been completed, and now we're moving
right, and
into
we're going
a new
into the
age.
New solar age. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so we should be celebrating that a new world is coming in. And, you know, the old world is dying, but new, I don't know, a lot of people probably aren't aware, but there are new plants being found in various parts of the world that have never been seen before, and new animals that have never been seen before. So this
right, and old animals they thought were gone, by the way.
Yes.
You know, and animals they thought were extinct, they're seeing again.
Yes, they're coming back. And so it's a resurgence, a rebirth that's actually happening. And so we have to be willing to gracefully let go of the old and joyfully welcome this new world that's coming in. And, you know, I do believe that we create the future with our thoughts. So it's really important that we're thinking beautiful, loving thoughts, that we're envisioning a future that is beautiful with clean, clear waters and lush, beautiful forests and harmony between humans and nature and between humans and animals, that this harmonic just flows around the earth with such love and such beauty that it's a joy to be alive.
You know, in Black Elk's words, he said, "May the tree of life blossom again and birds sing in her branches." And I think that kind of thing you're describing is exactly what, you know, I used to share with people. They would talk about the end of time. And I say, okay, let's say it's the end of time as we know it. That would mean the end of having to be on the clock, of punching in, of worrying about getting there, about all of these things we have that we've kind of negatively hooked up with time, our clock time, you know, things mm-hmm. are... It isn't a sense of eternal time or anything like that. So what is going to shift in that regard is that the Mayans say that on a great vase they have that's been found, the seven lords of time say that they gather together at the end of each age. We're at the end of this Piscean age, moving into this new time, the Aquarian time. At the end of each age, the seven lords of time get together and decide what kind of time will be the way in the new time. So we've been in this clock time linear kind of thing. But just think about the possibility of being in what I call heart time. And that's that, let's say you and I, Carolyn, on Shaman's Keep, were meant to get together, and we followed our heart totally, and that movement brought us here to this moment. Not even the clock saying, oh my gosh, I gotta be sure like I did. Oh gosh, I gotta be sure and be in there at 12 so I don't miss this. But just this heartful pulling together. And that's very complex. But even just running into a friend when you need to talk to him, or those kind of magical synchronicities that are guided by the heart. Because I think that we're stepping into the time of the heart. And the warrior, you know, all the old native teachings talked about walking the path with heart, walking a beauty path. Those two things have carried me into my life and continue to carry me. So walking, walking a path of beauty and walking through love, having the heart. What walking a path with heart means is that you allow your heart to be the guiding force or light in your life, that when a decision needs to be made, you go to your heart, not to your mind and your head and your logical thinking, your limited logical thinking. You go to your heart and the connection to all things, and from there decide. That's even what the Christ energy is defined as, is one who allows the energy of life and love to flow through the heart unrestricted.
Yes,
and I believe that's where we're going. And so when time as we think of it ends, it actually won't bother me too much. I will love this thing. And our challenge, you know, is to start living through our hearts, because then we get where we need to go, you know, or to the most fun point anyway. So yes, I'm very excited. This new time coming in is, I mean, a solar age, a sun, an age of sun and light. Wow. What a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ancients. Thank you, whoever sets this in motion. You know, I'm so grateful for, I'm grateful for the big movements that are happening, because it's sometimes in our small minds and our habits and our old ways and all of that, we humans get pretty caught, and I see us that way now. So I'm incredibly grateful for these enormous energies that are moving, that were set in motion, in the ancient days, and, you know, move in eternity. But I'm so glad for them, because I think we do need that boost. You know, we need a good shot in the arm here to get ourselves going where we need to go. And I really appreciate your program. You know, may I tell you something? I don't want to forget this, because I think it's really so powerful.
Oh, thank you. And for me, it's a blessing.
It's a blessing. I'm going to say that to people, that this is a blessing for Carolyn's program, Shaman's Keep. When I was with Don Eduardo Calderon, a Peruvian cactus shaman, he said something about the true shaman. He said this, and it has affected me deeply and guided me. He said, the true shaman is one who sees the golden time so clearly and can feel it so powerfully and hold it so strongly that it comes true on Mother Earth.
Yes. And that
shaman holds the golden dream and helps bring it into truth. So I like that as a basis for a sense of shamanism and what the shaman does, because there's all the woo-woo and the little things and the ways of doing it and all these fun things that we're learning and waking up to again. But the deep work, and I hope people remember this if they remember nothing else of what I say, you know, the deep work is to, you know, bring in that light and love and live in the new time.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. What you're doing in your quiet time in Washington, I'm doing here, even though I'm in the Las Vegas area. I do this because we need to envision the future the way it should be, healthy and happy and beautiful and joyful, and we need to hold that vision. And so we need to spend a lot of quiet time to do that.
And you know, the thing that's powerful, and this is another key I'd love to give all our listeners, is that the way you bring something into reality, the way you manifest it, the way you call in something, is you vibrate it. You need to vibrate that vibration, and it will be added unto you. You know, it will be more and more of that will be given. So that's the thing that Carolyn's been talking about, and all of us are learning, is that we hold creation in our hands, and that whatever we do, you know, brings things into creation. But I think the piece that sometimes we forget, because we tend to be a little bit out of our bodies, is we forget that it's the actual bodily sensation of something. And I want to talk about this because it's an important point. Like, I can say, oh, I'm happy, and I'm happy. And I can remember being, oh, I was happy. But what is powerful is to say, when I was that happy, How did I feel? How was my chest? How was my breath? How did I feel? Was there strength in my legs? Did I, you know, what did my arms and hands want to do? What was the whole feeling? I have butterflies in my belly or a big grin on my face, or what was the real physical experience of that? Because when we can call that in, it's like being in love. It's like, one of the most beautiful things to do is remember a moment of being in love, just that absolute wonderful feeling, and then transfer that to the world. Say, yeah, that. But to remember that in our body, I think sometimes in the cities and in the rush of things and in the pollution and all of this, it's hard to remember a really high, clear, healthy, light, loving, joyous moment. And so I think we need to work toward remembering those we've had in our lives, those high, beautiful, sweet, lovely, you know, moments in our life, and also call those in again and again and again. And another thing you can do in your life is notice them when they happen. You just notice, you're going, oh, my God, this is so exciting. I'm so happy about this. Just take a little part of your brain and a little part of your moment to notice how that feels really, how exciting it is, what that feels like, so that I can remember. And when I want to call that back, maybe when I'm feeling crappy and the day hasn't been great and I know I'm vibrating crummy energy, when I want to choose something else, I need to be able to find that something else. And the way you find it is through your body, and you have to practice remembering what it feels like to be joyful and what it feels like to be happy in your body, and then you manifest and pull more of that in. Does that make sense, Caroline?
Oh, it does. It's exactly what I was talking about as far as holding, because we can create a future in our thoughts, but you're right, we have to feel it. We have to put out that frequency. It's a frequency. All of us have a bodily frequency, and we have to have that frequency of joy and beauty and love that we're sending out, that we're radiating all the time as we hold this vision of this beautiful world that's coming in. So you
and you know, it does
better
because we're not used to that. You know, it really takes some focus of attention. And I love that many, many teachers from Abraham on up and down the line are helping us to hone in on how moment to moment to choose a better feeling, moment to moment to lift our energy just a little bit. Not that we can be, oh, joyous every moment, but just keep shifting it toward the positive, toward the good energy, toward a happy thought, toward a happy feeling, toward a, dance around, put on some good music, whatever you need to do to let that energy lift moment to moment to moment to moment. So it's just exciting. I feel like we've got all of the possibility, and I see the new, the young people coming in. Of course, they aren't as old as I am. Young people now could be 30 and 40. But these younger people coming in, who are bringing in, they're just really absolutely getting the oneness and the wholeness and all of that, and they're beginning to teach it. And you see them out there doing that, and they have a lot to share with us elders. You know, we were told that when these young people came in, they would help us lift our vibration because we're in the habit pattern of the old. So they're really, able to lift our vibration, I think, and we theirs with the ancient and wisdom and understanding that we have. So it's very exciting to feel this change and to feel all the directions it's coming from and the gift that it is to us and the gift we can be to it.
Yes, the world is waking up. Things have accelerated. Time has accelerated so rapidly. And so many of the young people now, they're getting it within 2 or 3 years, what took us 20 years to get. You know, it's just amazing. And what a joy to see people unfolding like a lotus blossom with this frequency of love and light. It's, it's definitely a new world.
I called us the proto-mutants, the ones, like those of us who kind of broke through. I was told some of us were the tough ones, had to be the point of the arrow to break through into a new consciousness, and that would, open the way, just like a broken drum, just open, or a door opened, there's a whole new world available, and it takes a while for it to come in. But I always laugh about being a proto-mutant, and then, these golden children, these crystal children, these indigo children, all of these are really the new being in, in the Mayan prophecies, they say that in the year 2005, the first human being will be born on Earth, or will come to Earth, And I believe that means that's when love comes in, because we're not complete and whole. We're not really, really, really who we are until we are filled with love and living with love. So in 2005, think of these little children born in 2005. What an amazing gift they will be. And these older folks are already an amazing gift, the ones younger than a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Edgar Cayce said the same thing. He said, in 2005, the fifth root race will come onto the earth. And that's a fascinating thought. And it ties to me into that. It's like it is a new being. It's this new, amazing being. And the wonderful thing is that the touch of that, all that good energy coming in through the children and through the light and through the planets and all of this can touch all of us, even us older folks who've been around in the old energy a long time. There's this wonderful, hopeful, exciting energy for all of us.
Yes, it's going to be a very different time. We've been under a matriarchal system for a long time.
A patriarchal.
Yes, the future is going to be more egalitarian, where everyone is equal, where everyone is respected and honored. And when I say everyone, I mean all our relations, the animal people, the tree people, the stone people, all of our relations. And so, it's definitely a new world coming in. But the interesting thing to me is, you know, in shamanism, we say that the circle of life goes round and round, and we are actually seeing a return of, for instance, shamanism, a return of the power of Mother Nature, and an awakening that we really need to be connected with her. And it's come full circle, and now we're going to get a chance to do it right. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, the thing that we have done over a long, 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 long time now is we have been about individuating, about awakening as individual beings, not just a collective kind of unconscious gathering, but some people, even in tribes, in the old tribal way, you really didn't think of yourselves as individuals as much as we do today. We don't even notice we do it. But we are always a part of the collective. You are always, you were the tribe. The tribe was you. You were part of it. There was no separation.
Yes, you and had a family, and you understood you were part of something.
And that was very positive, and yet people didn't individuate and develop as fully as they might. So Creator has been allowing us to individuate, you know, become very individual and to express our individuality. Women getting to actually speak out and be powerful. And you look across the stage of the world now, and these young women are the ones teaching. They're, you know, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I lost track of where I was going
that's okay. I wanted to stir it a little bit toward all the work that you've done over the years in reference to women, their roles in life, rites of passage for women, because that's something we don't even have in our culture. There's no such thing. They don't even think about that. But the rites of passage at different ages and the things that we celebrate about a woman's life are really important, and they've kind of been lost in the last couple of thousand years.
You know, I think they have, and for many years I have shared information about women's moon time, women's menstrual time, and the spiritual power of it, as well as the physical and health things that, are available there, because women on their moon time, in the dark of the moon, sitting in their quiet places, allowing their blood to go onto the earth, that was and is still, when we can honor it and focus on it, the closest human beings come to connection with the Great Spirit. It's the thinnest the veil ever is between us and the unknown. And women on their moon time have that access to the mystery. And so the old law among women was that when we are in our moon cycle, in our moon houses, in our moon lodges, our prayers are always for all the people. What we're wanting to draw through that veil is not just for us, but for all my relations, Mitakriyas, and all the people. So the women sat and quieted themselves, they rested, they nourished themselves, and their prayers were to, you know, just an open heart to hear from Creator, from creation, what needed to be brought forth. And it could have been a new, you know, they thought of a new plant to work with, a new medicine. It could be a new way to make baskets. It could be a new, you know, it could be, you might call, inventions, discoveries. Anything enormous, you know, could come through the women in their moon time, and many of the prophecies and the other things that we hear today about silver planes flying across the sky and spider webs of lines and like the telephone lines and electric lines. I've been told that many of those came from women on their moon time, out of those moon lodges. And so there's great power to see and to receive, to perceive, and to serve the people that way. So to me, it's a very powerful teaching, and it's one of the powers that we have, one of the natural energy and power and possibility that we have that's not being used. It's literally like a mine lying there unused, and it's energy and beauty within each of us as women. And certainly when I did my vision quest on Bear Butte many years ago, what I was told very emphatically, it was all about women. It was about the grandmothers. It was about circles of women. And what was said is that it's women's time to, it's the nurturing and renewing power of the feminine that can help this new age, the renewing and nurturing power of the feminine, and that we would bring that forward not only in ourselves more fully as women, but certainly vibrate that out and teach it to the rest of our world, because that's the feminine principle. That was the nature of the Sacred Lodge I fasted and quested under, was that sense, the bundle, the sacred calf bundle, the sacred cow bundle. And so anyway, it was focused on that sense of the earth and nurturing and women's role in stepping forward now in this time as loving. And, you know, we've always been related. Our women's lives are about relationship, like who's doing what, what do you know. It's relationship kind of things that we love so much and that we're about. And so helping to begin a better creation of good relationship among all things by nurturing and renewing life.
Well,
what we're about as women, and that's what the Moon Lodge is about.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I'm talking about as far as us coming full circle, because we are coming back around to an appreciation of women's gifts and their particular gifts, as opposed to man's way of thinking, right? I know a few years... Oh, go ahead.
I think it's very important that we differentiate, because one of the things that happened as we women stepped out into the world, we did a very masculine move out into the world. We stepped out, we stepped into things, we made our way, we're corporate people, we're all of these different people, and in a way we had to adopt a masculine energy to do that.
Yes.
And now that's done, and now women need to find the true feminine, which I believe is found through the moon menses and through the very womanly kind of things, and through loving and nurturing and renewing life and having that be our focus. So I think we women need to learn a lot about how to open and really carry our feminine power, not just balance the masculine power like we have, but now really bring forward, because it's so necessary, the deepest feminine. And that deep feminine, again and again, is about the nurturing and renewing of life, to have that be our focus as women.
Yes, it's unfortunate that so many women went into the business world feeling that they had to compete on equal terms with men, and so they wore pantsuits, and they were very efficient. And
well, you know, the truth is, I think they were right. I don't think they'd have ever gotten in if they didn't do that. It's almost like a disguise to get into the club, you know? I mean, you just... It's pretty darn hard to step in to those clubs, as it were, and those restricted if you don't act kind of like one of the guys for a while. And so I think that's part of what's going on, is that we did that, and now we're in, and now there's another kind of energy to portray as well, a more balanced energy where the feminine really comes forward in our expression.
Yes, because when we donned men's clothes and began acting like men and took on that image, as time has gone by, we forgot who we were. And so it's time now for women to come full circle around again. And this is something I believe most Native American tribes are matrilineal in their societies, aren't they?
You know what? They aren't. They aren't, but there are significant numbers who are. And one of the things is that those societies were pretty amazing, and I think it was so fabulous, the lines of property and everything, you know, on the Navajo, and I believe many of the Algonquin peoples and stuff, comes down through the female. You know, the children are the females. The property is the females. Totally opposite. And there were many cultures as well, though, where that wasn't the case, where they had chieftain lines that were the, you know, masculine lines, were the lineage. But And as well, they understood that the first principle, the first energy, was the feminine, creating power, you know, mm-hmm. the creation from the birth from the womb of life
right.
is, and then other energies come in and start creating. But that, there was that honoring. And then there were some folks out there who didn't honor women very much at all. And we know about that as well, you know. So, anyway,
well,
yeah.
You know, a few
that
years
what
ago,
we saw in what we see in down through time, Maria Gimbutas's work and all this, is that matrilineal societies were beautiful societies mostly. They were very egalitarian and all of that. And I think we'll come to a time when the feminine balances. It's like it comes back into balance, the positive masculine back into balance, and then we'll be in this really sweet balanced place, and it'll be much more egalitarian than even either matrilineal or patrilineal, patriarchy or matriarchy.
Yes.
And it's exciting.
You know,
and these younger people, I see some of the pretty young folks, you know, that are just getting out in their 20s and stuff. They're very different in their relationship, their sexuality, they're open and loving in ways that are very, and it's very powerful to see.
Yes.
They're bringing a whole new level in, so it's exciting.
Yes. A few years ago, Brooke, I had the opportunity to attend a big festival and celebration of the Apaches in Ruidoso, New Mexico. And it's their biggest celebration of the year, and it's to honor the young girls who have started their moons that year, started having periods that year, and to celebrate that they are now women with the awesome and sacred gift of being able to bring new life, new birth into this world. And I thought how wonderful this is, but it's such a different concept than the one held by patriarchal white society. It's almost incomprehensible. I don't know a white family out there that would announce to the world, well, my daughter just started having periods this year, so we're going to have a big celebration. You know? So it's, and yet it's so important to recognize that the future depends on women, that there would be no future if women did not have the ability to create new life within themselves and to birth new sons and daughters to carry on. And this is one of the rites of passage that is done in the Native American tribes. And also, I remember you teaching something about a rite of passage for grandmothers, that at a certain age a woman is initiated into the grandmother society. Would you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I've done over time is do, for women all of all ages, do a menarche ceremony, you know, the ceremony you were speaking of, the honoring of that first blood and making it so joyous and so right and understanding that that blood is nourishing and rich for the earth and just an amazing, magical thing. They used to put it at the center of altars in the matriarchal societies. The patriarchy threw that out and used blood sacrifice of animals. But that is, you know, that is the sacred energy. That's where, you know, life is. So that's mm-hmm. such a vital one. And also it's wonderful for us to be aware that as we move into our moon pause, I guess you might call it, menopause, mm-hmm. as we move into that, there's the opportunity to step into what I call the Grandmother Lodge. And that is a time when you are no longer so connected with the energy of the creation of children and family right around your knees, you might say, but you have more chance to live away, to live a quieter life, to interact as you would, and to have more time for prayer. So the old way is that 4 days around your moon, as soon as your menses begin, you have 4 days of quiet and stillness and sweetness and nourishing yourself, and wouldn't we all love it? So 4 days every moon, you have this exquisite time. Then when you step into the Grandmother Lodge, there's the opportunity to extend that, to deepen your time of prayer and meditation or service to the earth, to the larger earth, not just your own family, but the larger earth, stepping out. You know, Barbara Marks Hubbard, all of these kind of women that are stepping out now into the world and offering, and they have, you know, they're beyond raising their families and that kind of thing. So that's a wonderful time, and the dedication of the Grandmother Lodge is the service of all the children of Earth.
Oh, that's
so
beautiful.
So once it's stepping beyond just your family, you've hopefully gotten your family rolling and set in motion, and now you have the opportunity to turn your attention to the world. I know I haven't had children and chose not to have children, and in the Crow way, when you have no children, all the children are yours. So in a certain way, I think that's what happened as you go into moon pause. You know, most people, anyway, are done with their child rearing and hopefully have them on the way and out there into their lives and then can do more of their own thing. And it's an incredible time of blossoming into your personal and spiritual self, because if you've been a householder and a mom and 1,000, 10 million other things, you haven't been able to be too much a shaman, goddess, sit and meditate person, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what, Brooke, we're starting to run a little short on time here, and I want listeners to know how to access your wonderful wisdom. I know you've written two books, Buffalo Woman Come Singing and The Last Ghost Dance, and you've co-authored several other books. These are available on Amazon.com and through most bookstores, but would you please tell the audience, give them your website, your YouTube videos, and your beautiful music, how they could buy your albums?
You know, I'm not very good with all of that, and I have to tell you that my website is down because I'm on retreat. I'm not doing very much, and I'm changing my life so much that it's not in very good shape. However, I would love to have you just connect in, and hopefully this winter it's going to go up with some new things. But it's www.medicineeagle.com. If you go straight to that, you bypass all the other things that are out there, and at least my schedule on a few simple things are there. I'm on Facebook under my own name, and there are some YouTube videos out there. I think if you just put my name in, there are some about my Earth Heart home and some other good things, so I think you'd be able to find those that way. And I love having people here. I'm hoping to have more steady help in some way so that I can have people come and retreat and question for vision if they would want to do that. And as well, I really invite people to get in contact with me at my website, or, you know, bme@medicineeagle.com. It's my initials, bme@medicineeagle.com, being sure you get the two E's in. That way you can let me know if you'd be interested in coming up this way. And there's a note on my website about the kind of help I need and all the parameters of that. So it would be good to check in on the website, and then you can get a hold of me. So it's kind of interesting to be so quiet. I've carried the prophecies of 2012 for sort of ever, it seems like, and yet I'm not out there talking about it right now. I guess I'm doing what Creator wants me to do and sort of vibrating the new vibration after all those years on the road. But I'm being told I'll be called back out, and a part of me is excited about that, and a part of me keeps going, no, I want to rest.
Well, you're doing wonderful things, and you always have. And, Brooke, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your gifts and your wisdom with us. May the Great Spirit bless you, and may you always walk in beauty. Okay, now.
Oh, hey. I bless Shamans Keep. Do a wonderful job. I want to listen in, and thank you so very much.
Okay, thank you, Brooke. And now this concludes our show today. Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll be with us next week when my guest will be Simone Soucy. She's a Colorado artist, organic farmer, and teacher of some of Tom Brown's wilderness survival classes. Until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence. Thank you.